Good morning. Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Acts, chapter 9. And we're going to read from verse 19 to verse 27. Acts, chapter 9, verse 19 to 27, the second half of 19. Now for several days he was with the disciples who were at Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." And all those hearing him continued to be amazed and were saying, "Is this not he who in Jerusalem destroyed those who called on his name and who had come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priests?" But Saul kept increasing in strength and confounding the Jews who lived at Damascus by proving that this Jesus is the Christ. And when many days had elapsed, the Jews plotted together to do away with him. But their plot became known to Saul, and they were also watching the gates day and night so that they might put him to death. But his disciples took him by night and led him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a large basket. And when he had come to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took hold of him and brought him to the apostles and described to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had talked to him and how at Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. Amen. The heart, sort of the focus of this morning's devotional is just the idea of being the sort of connector or middle person in the sense of the way that Barnabas was for Paul. The reason why I wanted to share on this is, you know, we're full in stride, you know, going into the summer. And in the past several years, I've been the one who, for the most part, has been entering data for the visitors that come to SP. And so I get card after card. And it's, you know, I've observed in the summers, there's a huge spike, a huge increase in the amount of visitors we have. And so literally, you know, we can get anywhere from like 8 to 12 visitors almost every Sunday for like 2 months straight. Even as I sort of led the services the last two Sundays, last Sunday I think I had like 11 cards. Right between both services, and the week before that, I think I had like 6 or 7 cards, and I've observed that this is, you know, during the summers there's this peak, and so I kind of wanted to touch on that today. When I first went out as a missionary to China in 2000, my first summer trip actually, this is before I was commissioned full time in 2003. In 2000, as God was calling me to explore where He'd be calling me long term, I ended up going to a university in northeast China to teach conversational English. And it was a huge summer program. You know, I think they probably have like 50-plus summer volunteers, missionaries from all over the world. It's quite an exciting time and community, and we're all there to teach English and to build relationships. And the summer volunteers are there, but then there are also the long-term staffers who are also, you know, believers. And so they sort of have their network and community. And so here I am coming, and, you know, I didn't come to make friends with other missionaries. I'm there to serve, so the excitement of all that is there. And, you know, a new culture, you know, new foods, you know, new language, just a new place, a new experience. It was a beautiful place, and I was just soaking it in. So, you know, in that sense, you know, I was fine between me and God, but just one morning after breakfast, you know, it was an 8-week mission trip, and probably like maybe the second week into it, you know, I was just playing with one of the, you know, random missionary kids, just absolutely beautiful, you know, these kids, and then the mom just came and said, "Hey, you know, are you free tomorrow or the day after? Why don't you come over to our house for breakfast?" And a part of me, I was like, "Wow," I was like, that's so nice of you." You know, I was like, "Man, you don't even know me. Like, we haven't had a single discussion. Like, I think it's the first time I've seen you. I mean, I've seen the kids and whatnot." And so, it's just a small gesture. You know, I went over the next day, a few days later, and had breakfast with them. It was just, you know, like 30 minutes, 40 minutes before everyone went off to teach their classes, and it was awesome. It was just really, really neat. And You know, some years later, I would decide to come back, you know, and commit full time there. And we, you know, we developed a beautiful friendship. And, you know, at that time they had 4 kids, you know, now they have 7 and their kids are absolutely adorable. And so, you know, it was a beautiful thing, but you know, just his heart, this nature that, you know, I mean, I don't know what it was or why, or if God called it on her heart, or she's just, you know, I know that they didn't, their family didn't invite every single volunteer that summer. You know, but the heart of Barnabas is such that, you know, he's willing to make himself, you know, a little uncomfortable, right, is the word. He's willing to even, you could say, lose a little bit of face, right? Because here Paul is, and, you know, everyone's a little bit suspect of his account, of his testimony, right? I mean, this is a guy who was persecuting the church. He was known, right? He was a prodigy of you know, Pharisees of the law. And are you kidding me? This guy was like going to be the next big thing, or was already the next big thing. And then he has this incredible encounter with God. And he now wants to associate, come into the fellowship, get connected with the disciples. But there's a little bit of suspect, you know, they're not so open. They're not so welcoming. And I have some thoughts on this, you know, as to why, you know, how to get us out of this comfort zone. Okay. So, you know, I'm at this retreat last week, Church Planners Retreat. I shared about it a couple weeks ago. And, you know, I made a very, you know, I made a mental note. I said, Sam, don't forget how you're feeling right now. And how did I feel? I you know, just between us, right? I don't want to tell them, but I hated it. I absolutely hated it. And here's why. Here's all these guys, you know, doing some pretty incredible things, you know, people I don't know. And by nature, my default disposition is, I'm to myself. And so here these guys are, and they're like, you know, have done stuff, accomplished, and I haven't done anything. And so I just felt so out of place. You know, I haven't felt, you know, I was telling myself, man, I haven't felt like this in years. You know, as a pastor, you know, serving at SP, I don't even have to go out of my way to make friends, and you know, it's pretty easy to get connected with people because, you know, of a status or title that you have within a certain community, right? But I mean, for the first time in probably 3 or 4 years, I was in a place and I absolutely felt so uncomfortable. I didn't want to talk to anybody. See, it wasn't just, right, you know, and so I'm a newcomer again. It wasn't just, you know, I didn't want to talk with anyone. It was also that I didn't want anyone to talk to me. Like, just kind of leave me alone. I'll just drink my water. And so, you know, here I was, and, you know, I know I wasn't the only person feeling this way. There was this other guy, you know, a little bit on the younger side. And so for whatever insecurities or whatnot, he sort of gravitated towards me. And I was like, why are you gravitating towards me? Like, I don't know anybody. But he, you know, for whatever reason, I don't know if I look young or I look like I didn't know what I was doing. So he felt comfort in that. So he would gravitate towards me in this group of like 30 people. And then there was this one person that I would gravitate towards. You know, he was a Japanese speaking pastor and he didn't speak any English. So I liked it. I just sit next to him. We don't talk to each other, right? And so I just kind of gravitated towards him. And so here we are. And I don't want anyone to bother me. I just want to, you know, get feedback and then go and whatnot. And then there's this one guy. You know, he's one of the coordinators, and then we just get to talking, and I mean, from 0 to 60, he just starts sharing his whole life. Like, I mean, to the point where he's literally like tearing up and sharing with me about his struggles, about his hardships. You know, our discussion led to one thing or another, and he just started sharing with me about the things that, you know, about his brokenness, about the things that, you know, he's failed in. And he's sharing me, like, you know, just wanting to encourage me and challenge me and saying that, you know, and I was amazed. I was absolutely blown away that I don't even know this guy. And he's totally exposing himself and making himself vulnerable. And here's the thing, right? We've all been in situations where we meet people for the first time. And without even thinking, we have a different, you know, sort of attitude or a mode of operating, in the sense that, for example, if I hang out with a few of my friends and I eat, you know, I don't care if anything gets on my shirt, like, oh, just whatever, like a stain. Or if I don't care if I'm talking and laughing and, like, you know, noodle shoots out of my mouth, like, who cares? But when you meet someone for the first time, it's not like that, right? We can all attest to that. It's like, I want to have a clean shirt, right? I want to say the right things, especially if it's someone you look above, or, you know, someone you want to really connect with. You know, it's almost in a way like when you meet two people meet for the first time, there's these automatic defense mechanisms, right? Think of it this way. People, you know, over a period of time get to know who you are, and it's just inevitable. They're going to know about your failures, about your weaknesses, and you're okay with that, right? I mean, your friends, your closest friends, you're okay with that. They accept you, they love you. But someone you meet for the first time, in a way, we have quite a bit of power in the sense that we kind of dictate who we, you know, how they perceive us. So we want everything to be, you know, we want to contain everything. There's, you know, a way, an image that we want to present. And so in that sense, without even knowing, in our subconscious, all these walls go up, right? So you meet someone the first time and, yeah, you know, this and that, and you talk, and you barely scratch the surface. And so here this guy is, and he's totally defenseless, totally vulnerable, totally put down on day one, conversation one with me. He could care less in some ways, in a good way, how he thinks I think I'm going to look at him. And so then he's sharing. And let me tell you what happened. Because he let his walls down and let me in, literally, something in me broke. Like, all of a sudden, I didn't care what or how he thought of me. And so then I could share and we could talk and connect. And here's the key. When he opened up and when I connected with him, then a strange thing happened. I felt connected to him, and because he's connected to the whole coordinating event, all of a sudden, I'm not so concerned about what other people think about me. In a way, I felt like because I'm connected with him, that kind of makes me connected with the group. And so all of a sudden, I'm out and I'm talking with people, and I'm getting, you know, starting to connect with other people, and I'm hearing their testimonies. I met with a couple other individuals, and they're sharing with me about their families, about their experiences. And all of a sudden, it's not, I don't feel like such an outsider. In fact, I don't feel like I have to dictate how I want people to perceive me or receive me. In fact, I don't care that I haven't done anything, you know, worth salt in terms of planning a church. And here, all that didn't have anything to do with it. I just wanted to get to know these people. And so there's this aspect of, you know, the heart of Barnabas being the heart of, you know, being vulnerable, being willing to expose. And, you know, we have a this summer where we have all these newcomers coming, but at the same time, we have people who've been here, you know, for years. And the same thing applies to them, right? Maybe they've been here 2 years, right, let's say. But the last 3 months, they've been heavy in a project, or they've been heavy traveling, and so they haven't had time for relationships. They've been disconnected. Even for them, and even for myself, you come into this church and you can still feel sort of disconnected. Like, oh, I got to reestablish myself, sort of a mentality. And then again, the walls go up. And then someone asks you how you're doing. Oh, yeah, I'm doing great. But the reality is there's a bunch of junk going on. Right? Even in that, I mean, we really have to make an effort with long-term members and then especially newcomers. And I'll tell you why, especially newcomers. Paul, consider this his situation, right? I mean, just consider his heart. In some ways, you could say he had the blackest of hearts. And the reason why I say that, it's one thing if a person knows absolutely nothing of God and in disparity and in debauchery, he's just living in sin. But Paul knew so much about God, right? I mean, he's striving with all his heart, with all his man-made ability to seek to righteousness. I mean, he's so close in the sense of understanding the law, but yet his heart is never further away from any other person that doesn't know anything about God. And so it's just like dichotomy. It's just like he's stuck and he's the furthest. You could say he's the saddest of men. And then he has this supernatural encounter where God just comes in light and speaks to him. And his heart is opened up and he wants God. He needs the community. And let me ask you this. He comes to the disciples and he's having a bit of difficulty breaking into that community. You know, naturally, you can kind of see both sides of the story. But let me ask you this. Where else can he go? Where else can Paul go? There's nowhere else he can go but to the community, to the family of God. If he had a choice, I'm sure he would rather go somewhere else. And if God, you know, said go to a mountain, meditate for 30 years and write the scriptures, I'm sure he would do that if that was the option given to him. Where else could he go? He had to go to the community. How else could he speak to us on relationships and the dynamics of the church and humility and serving and the body of Christ if he's not in the body of Christ? right? And so in the same way, newcomers come to us, you know, where else do they have to go? Right? How many people come, that I've met come to our church and literally just, are walking down the street wandering and they see our sign. I can't, this has happened literally like 2 or 3 times. I just saw your sign and I came up. Right? Probably, I would say 20% of our newcomers, honestly, they just surfing through the net, looking for a community in Hong Kong. And then they come. And they come through the doors for the first time. And some of them are broken, desperately broken. One of the newcomers that I had spoken with over the past couple weeks, he was telling me his testimony. And, a part of it, just to be honest, we're all in the same boat, right? My point is it's intentional. We have to be intentional. It's not our default disposition. But as I'm preaching the last, and leading the service the last few weeks, I'm in a place where I kind of want to get to know who the newcomers are. And so I'll actually go to the back, 5 minutes before service, and if there are any newcomers or new faces, I want to greet them. I think part of that, just internally for me, is if I see their faces for the first time back there, then when I come up here and there's so many new faces, it's not such a shock to me or whatnot. And so one guy had come, and he's just opening up. God had touched his heart. And he was saying, for the last, I've been in China now for, half a year, I think he said. And he just got to a point where night in and night out, week in and week out, man, all around him, it was just darkness, The nightlife, people getting drunk, abuse, addictions, promiscuity, just night in and night out. And just, he said he got to a point where he would go out with his friends at night. And in the beginning, it was all, cool, whatever, this is a new experience. But he got to a point where he would just look at his friends, he would look at the people, the circumstances, and what was happening, and people just getting, wasted. And he said it was so sad. He said, I just couldn't believe how sad it was. And so he's sitting here in our office on the fourth floor, and he's telling me, this was, Saturday? He's like, Saturday, I couldn't take it, And he said, I had to see something beautiful. That's what he said. He said, I just had to see something real, something beautiful. And so he said he asked his friends or whatnot, searched, online, and then he found a church and he came. And we have people like that who are coming in through our doors on a regular basis, who are literally retreating from the world, right? Recognizing that this is not what the purpose, of my life is. And they're retreating and they want to see something beautiful. And then they come, and then the temptation or the danger is that we're all coming and we all have our defenses up and we all want to look great in our Sunday best. And this guy comes and, nobody takes this measure. Nobody takes that step. Nobody is doing what this person graciously did for me at the retreat and totally making himself vulnerable and exposing himself, and in doing so, making me put down my guards. No one is helping these people do that. And so then they come, they want to see something beautiful. Yeah, they may, hear, have a great service, great message or whatever, but there's no connection. And you know what they're going to do, right? One of two things. They're going to leave and they're going to check out another church, or they're not going to go to another church at all. There's just nothing there. And so it really is, a responsibility, not just of the leaders of the church, but of every individual to say, hey, I have a part in this. this is interesting. Last week, I think we had 5 interns, right? So I'm asking each one, where are you from? Like, what's your story? What are you doing here? How'd you hear about our church and whatnot? And 5 of them, we had 11 visitors, but only 6 or 7 came down. And 5 of them were all interns, straight out of college or grad school and whatnot. And they're here for a 6-week work assignment. Chris Lee, our worship leader, I met him for the first time in 2005. I was passing through. He was here for a 6-week internship. Right, out of undergrad, before he went to law school. And so I connected with him then. I shared a testimony that day, and then he asked, if he could meet up, and we had pizza, and we talked. And I just thought, man, this guy is so cool. And then we had no idea at that juncture in our life that we would both end up in Hong Kong at some point. And then, even further, that we would both be being launched out together to plant a church in Beijing. Incredible. Right? And so I just got to thinking, like, man, these... God brings all sorts of people through our doors, through this juncture, Hong Kong, a transit hub, you know, education, commerce, culture, law, entertainment, just an exciting place. And I thought, man, we have to do something. You know, so I'm thinking, like, when Pastor Sam comes back in August, you know, they're all going to leave mid-August, you know, and we probably have like 15 of them here sitting in our services. And this is just one example, just interest. But we should all get them together, have a meal with them. Pastor Sam should talk with them and pray over them. And who knows that, you know, they go back, right? And because of our prayer over them, or God orchestrates and whatnot, that their internship gets extended to a job offer. And who knows that as they're processing and as they're praying between Hong Kong or a city in their homeland or another city, that they're looking through all the job options and whatnot and all the different specs and pros and cons. Who knows that, but for some reason God's calling them back to Hong Kong because there's some community or someone, just one person connected with them. And because one person connected with them, you know, their defenses were put down. And even though if physically it didn't manifest yet, because that person put their defenses down, he felt like he connected with this person. And because this person is connected with four or five other people in our church, he felt like he was connected with those four or five. And then therefore he felt, you know, some sense of community. And the God brings revelation, hey, there's something going on in this church, right? That God is doing something amazing in this church to impact this region, this Asia. Maybe God wants me to be a part of that. Maybe through this meal or, you know, internship meal that hasn't happened yet, maybe God's going to do some of this. Maybe you have a part to play in that, you know, sort of a Barnabas role in one individual. And maybe that person is going to become the next two or three leaders of our church, right? I mean, you know, how it all plays out. You know, and this is, I think this is the key. You know, one, in the same sense, newcomers, you know, where are they going to go? But it starts with a heart of humility. And I'm sharing this from experience, because for myself, even as a leader, I have to push myself, right? Honestly, just between us, right? Like, Sam, come on, you got to be a good, you know, you got to greet people. You know, I got to, like, you know, push myself in some ways, go down. It's my job, man. But still, I got to, like, go down and, like, hey, how you doing? And it's there. And, you know, sometimes, you know, I connect really well. Sometimes I don't connect really well. But the last 2 weeks, man, I've been connecting with everyone really well. And here's the key for me personally. You know, having to come up here and preach, it's very humbling. Okay? Very, you know, straightforward. It's quite vulnerable. You know, you know, people can say all sorts of things about you. And so that's one aspect of it. But more importantly, man, I so desperately want God to come and bless and speak every single person. I so desperately want that in my prayer, in my preparation. And I recognize that that has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with God. I mean, words and whatnot could be great and appealing, but it has to be the Spirit of God that comes in and does a work in the heart for any real transformation to come. And so I'm in a vulnerable place, and I'm absolutely humble. And when I'm in that place, guess what? You know, I want to meet people. I want to talk with people. I want to encourage people. And so that's sort of the place we need to get to, right? And recognize that, man, God wants to use you to really encourage. And not just newcomers, but people who've been here for a while, you know? You know, say, you know, like, hey, so what's been going on in your life? You know, share with me what's going on. You know, can I pray for you, sort of a thing? You know, as opposed to just grabbing a drink and from a distance, hey, what's up? How's everything? Oh, yeah, I'm great, kind of a thing. You know, just to go a little deeper. All right, so let's bow our heads this morning. And just begin to meditate. You know, just a few reflections. One, you know, consider how it is that you came into faith. You know, there are those that have a on the road to Damascus type of encounter. And it's incredible. But, I, you know, honestly, that's a small percentage. Consider how you came to faith. It was through relationship. Right? Somebody prayed for you. Somebody spoke to you or you know, a pastor or a friend. And it led you to the greatest discovery of your life. And then another reflection is, consider, you know, I think the key again is humility, right? If we can let down our defenses and not really care and, you know, be intentional. You know, consider that, hey, maybe the way I'm feeling is the same way this person is feeling. And maybe if I let down my shields, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I think it's just natural by default. But you know, there's not a lot that separates a newcomer and a you know, old timer, in the sense of this sort of this, you know, wall. It's the same. It's the same. It comes from the same place. There's not much. It's the same thing, in essence, is what I'm saying. It's just on other sides of the fence. And I think the responsibility is on us. You know, even if we've been here only 2 weeks, the responsibility is still on us to go forward and be vulnerable or expose ourselves and, you know, and share, hey, I'm not perfect and I don't have to have the perfect pressed shirt or outfit or life even. And just open up and share and talk, and then that'll help them to open up. And if they're connected to you, they would feel connected to the church. It's an interesting dynamic, and you know, and in a lot of ways, fellowship is so amazing in that sense. And I'm telling you because this is fresh from my heart, because this is what I went through 2 weeks ago. I was hating it, seriously, man. If I didn't think Pastor Sam would get me in trouble or something or upset, I would have left that thing the first day, right? If there was a way to leave and no one not know about it, I would have done it. Seriously, that's how uncomfortable I felt. I hated it. I didn't hate the vision. I didn't hate the community. I didn't hate the people. I just hated the way I felt. And I wanted to get out of there. And it wasn't until this guy just totally opened up. And then, I mean, yeah, and then my heart just like, no fears, no problems. I don't care what people think. So I pray that each of us would be able to do that. So let's meditate on that this morning as Jisun leads us in a song of worship.
Make me more and more like you. I come. come to worship you, to love you, fear you, draw ever near you as I worship you. I come to worship you, O Lord.
Let's go to our prayer focus for today. Let's turn to our mission focus. Let's pray for China. Let's pray for the Chong family, for Matt and Pastor Nate's parents in Qingdao. Let's pray for our Chichihar orphans, for the caretakers, the pastor and wife, that the kids would continue to grow in faith, in stature, in wisdom. Let's pray for the government, that God would begin to raise up leaders, conversions, you know, like Paul just on the road to Damascus, that God would just, you know, intervene and transform lives, you know, people in leadership. And as our church gets out there, you know, that Chris and I and our community would be able to impact, you know, up and coming lawyers and judges and, you know, executives and, you know, teachers and principals, and that they would be in our fellowship and they would come and be discipled and just absolutely fall in love with Jesus, and then that they would go and turn and make an impact in their nation. Let's pray for myself and Chris and our preparation. Chris is going to be going out in a few weeks with Amy, leaving Hong Kong, and then Annie and I will be leaving Hong Kong at the end of August. So if you could just pray, just all the logistics, just all, you know, all the details that go into that, emotionally, spiritually, physically. So let's cover our mission focus for today. Let's pray for China. Let's pray for our SP staff. Let's continue to pray for Pastor Sam. He's in his second week of his annual leave. Just pray for rest and peace over his family, his wife, and his kids. Just a great time to connect with them for an extended period of time, that they would just be refreshed, that Pastor Sam will come back with greater vigor and excitement. And, you know, I just between us, I know that he, you know, this year was really tough, you know, that there was a bit of wear and tear. So let's really cover him, pray for him. Let's pray for our elder board. I mean, it's his annual leave with his family, but he also has to work on membership protocol, and he has to do quite a bit of stuff. And, you know, us pastors can't leave him alone. We always have to email him. So let's just pray protection covering over him. Pray for the elder board, the God, that they would walk in purity and holiness, that they would live what they teach, and that God would give them grace for their weaknesses. Pray for the mission committee. As we're getting geared up, you know, we're in the full swing of missions, and every member of the committee is going on a trip. So just pray that God would speak to us as we make decisions. You know, we're at the half-year point. We still have a lot of projects and fundings that we want to do, that God, on God's initiatives, that we want to bless. So let's just pray and cover missions at SP. Yeah.
Let's pray for the Febe ministry, for Pastor Salamat and his wife Mimi and their two kids, Cardia and Samuel. Let's just pray continual favor, logistics. I mean, physically speaking, things may stay the same, but relationally, let's just pray that everything would be maintained, even with the SP move. Let's pray for peace, provision. You know, they have a vision, a greater vision for a greater facility. Let's pray that God would supply. Pray for their leaders as they train up, that they would really walk in the humility of Christ as they follow their leaders, Pastor Salamat and Mimi, that they would really embody the message of the gospel for them, so that it would be easy for them to follow, that it's not two different messages or very distant, but that it would be one message. So we would just pray favor, grace, specifically over their family, just provision, peace in their home, peace in their family, peace in their ministry. Let's pray for the Korean church again, that their pastor would just be, that their new pastor would just come into confidence and humility and really mold and come into his place within the church. So let's just pray covering and spiritual covering over them. Let's pray for the Febe and for the Korean church. Lastly, let's pray for SP 1.5. Let's just pray covering over logistics, over steering committee members. I was there last Sunday. They're still meeting. It seems like they're going to meet forever. They're constantly going at it, and different members come in and out. But let's just pray God's grace over them in the midst of all the things that they have to do, that God would give them clarity in helping us move to SP 1.5. Let's just pray for favor for the logistics and admin and all that's going to go into that. August is going to be here, and then it's going to be a whirlwind. For a lot of you, just come on Sundays, but here in the office during the week, it's going to be a whirlwind up until mid-September and October until we have our first service. So let's just pray grace covering, covering over relationships. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for this morning. God, just it's good to rest in your presence. It's good to rest in the fact and knowledge of your love for us. And Lord, we thank you again for the reminder how you left your comfort zone, how you made yourself vulnerable, Lord God, and got to the point of being ridiculed. God, to the point of being questioned of your identity, to the point of people lying, God, about who you are, and to the point of people hurling insults and physical abuse. And God, even to the point of hating it, Lord, I'm sure, of having to be separated from the divine union of the Trinity, of having your beloved Father having to turn away or turn aside for however long that was. God, that you totally exposed yourself. And you didn't just expose yourself, Lord, but you took upon yourself all the shame, all the fear, all the sin, God, of the world. Lord, and then you came back and you resurrected. And so, Lord, we thank you for that resurrection power in us that gives us the faith to believe, God, that we can die to ourselves, Lord, today, that we can let down our guards, that we can expose our weaknesses. Because, God, you're gonna raise it back up again, Lord. You're going to raise us up again. And, God, our identity, God, we are complete because of you, because of who you say we are. And, God, that's foolproof. God, nothing can pierce through that. God, nothing can touch our heart because you already have it. God, no word, no act, no thought or perception can harm us, God, because we're in your hands. So, God, give us that boldness to go out today. You know, maybe not even on a Sunday of people coming through our doors, but the people that come in through the doors of our life, God, that we would let our guards down. God, even if this person is like 10 years younger than us and, you know, came from a better school and might take our job one day, God, let our guards down. Or maybe you want to bring this person up to be the next Saul or Paul within our church or within our community. God, we don't want these people to be turned away, God, because we were afraid or because we were uncomfortable. God, would you give us that heart today? God, your heart, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a wonderful day. Continue praying. If you'd like, at 8:15, all of you are welcome. We're going to probably go get some breakfast. Okay, so we can all become best friends today.